The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Draftmas to you. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Kent Swanson. This is the AP Draft Show, and we are inching closer and closer to the big weekend. Draft weekend is approaching here in about 6 weeks or so. We're getting close, and I'm very excited. We're all very excited. And we have a lot to get to today because it is time for another mock draft around here. Craig Stout, the energy is just insane right now for him. Isn't that right? Find him on Twitter at Jacob Morley, Jake Stagg. Isn't that right about Craig?
Craig is out of this world right now, out of this atmosphere, out of this orbit. He's doing such a good job. Craig, at the end of the episode last week, I asked if you were going to bring us back a moon rock. Do you have one?
Yes, I do. I have one specifically for you. I don't know how I got a moon rock from Mars, but I did.
Stopped on the way home, baby.
On the way home, I just took a little bit of a detour, and I brought you a moon rock, and I brought Maddie some Tang because astronauts drink a lot of Tang, and it seems like Maddie likes powdery drinks. Like, he drinks protein shakes all the time. It just made me think of him the entire time I was up there.
Man, we're off to a great start.
I very often when I drink a protein shake, do I find myself thinking, boy, do I really want some Tang right now? I wish that stuff wasn't just for astronauts.
I love that Matt liking powdery drinks is somehow now a bit. It's such a bad bit and such a bad joke. I'm just going to run with it excessively for the next multiple years. That's so good. All right, we're going to do a mock draft today. So we're
very excited for this mock draft that will be obsolete in 1 week when free agency starts, hey, guys.
It's a good exercise. It helps us kind of flesh out the needs of all these football teams before free agency.
Do we need a powdery drink after our exercise?
You might, because you're soft. You hate mock drafts, but we're going to...
Kit, you couldn't run a sub-808-3 cone with the pro day testing that we are getting this year. Do not come at me with this.
I did it last summer. I do not need your validation. I know what I did. I am comfortable in my own skin and in my own lateral agility. Let's start. Jake is on the
Kent's
clock.
Kent's 4-year-old son had the stopwatch on that. Oh, pick number one. The Jacksonville Fighting
Jaguars.
Urban Meyers are going to take Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
No.
Oh, fine. All right. Trevor Lawrence, Clemson, move on.
All right. Let's go. Craig, you are on the board at number two. And the New York Jets are on the clock.
I mean, I just don't believe that there's any faith in Sam Darnold. There's too much smoke right now. A lot of people are pushing that way too hard. So I'm going Justin Fields here to them. Get their quarterback of the future.
So I just prod a little bit. Why Fields over Wilson for you personally?
Oh, I think the more that I watch, the more flaws I see in what Zach Wilson does. I think the four of us were talking the other day. It's like, believe it or not, I think Zach Wilson probably has the least amount of athleticism of these guys. And I think it's about winning with athleticism now. It's about playing out of structure, which he certainly does pretty well. But I think that you probably have a much higher ceiling with a Justin Fields over Zach Wilson right now. I think Justin Fields is a better player.
All right, the Miami Dolphins are on the board at pick number three. Matthew, what you got here?
All right, who would like to trade up to pick number three?
You know, if there's one thing that Craig Stout loves more than mock drafts, it's mock drafts where we all try to figure out the math on trades.
So with this pick, the Dolphins, I really do think they're going to try to trade out, but we're not going to go down the trade route just yet. I just wanted to throw that out there. I think for this, if we're standing pat at three, we will take wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU. I do think he's a little similar to Devontae Parker, who's not the best fit for Tua right now. The only issue is he's that much better than every other wide receiver. If you're going down the list, he's a guy that's going to give you a possession wide receiver right away. I don't know if he's going to create the most separation, which seems to be what they would lean towards if they are keeping him at quarterback, but we'll stick with Chase for now. He's the best wide receiver on the board, so we'll take him.
All right, the Atlanta Falcons are on the board at number four, and I'm looking over here, and part of me really wants to go and just grab a quarterback, maybe take a Zach Wilson here and add somebody into the mix. But I'm an agent of chaos here a little bit. How about Kyle Pitts here? Arthur Smith loves his tight ends. He loves utilizing versatile tight ends. And Kyle Pitts is a exceptional offensive weapon who is a surprisingly good blocker. I saw someone mention today, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah, that the consensus around the league is if there's one guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer in this class, they're betting on Kyle Pitts to be the guy. So I'm going tight end Kyle Pitts out of Florida, one of the most enjoyable prospects to watch in this class, a surprising inline blocker, even though everybody wants to call him just like an X receiver. My man can block. And he can block at a functional enough level to play in line. All right, Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. Jake, what you got?
I hate this mock draft already. I'm just going to throw that out there. I think this picks suck. I'm not joking. But I think
we love you too, Jake. Thanks for joining us.
I think all the smoke is Zach Wilson to New York right now, and I think Kyle Pitts is the best wide receiver in this draft if they're going to take the best receiver. But whatever. I'll just keep making smart picks. You guys keep doing dumb things.
Can I ask just one quick question? How are you planning on using two guys that are both average at best tight end blockers? Like, why would you not take Chase when you already have Gesicki, who's essentially a lesser version of Pitts, but it's not like either one could play in line?
Oh, I mean, just because Pitts is better. And that's why I would take him. Continue, you're good now. I think he's a bigger receiver. He's a bigger catch rate for a guy like Tua. He's different than what they have on the outside. Honestly, I wouldn't care. Line him out wide the whole time. Don't play him in line. If you want to play him at receiver and just say he is a wide receiver, I still think he's the best receiver in this draft class. But that's beside the point. The Cincinnati Bengals are ecstatic right now. They're so pumped that Penei Sewell is on the board. Protect the franchise and Joe Burrow. This is almost as easy as picking Trevor Lawrence at number one.
All right, Craig. Philadelphia Eagles on the board. What you got?
Man, see, you took all the offensive weapons I think that they would want to go here. How much do they believe in Jalen Hurts? Honestly, I don't know. It's a new regime. I would take the quarterback here. I'm going to go Zach Wilson at BYU here. Get the quarterback.
Love this so far. Well, let's mix it up a little bit. I enjoy this very much. All right, Matthew, number seven, the Detroit Lions. They're trying to get under the kneecap. I'm sorry, salary cap. And are looking to add some young talent to this roster. Who they got?
Well, it would be common sense to take a wide receiver since they have decided that Kenny Galladay is not their man. And while that does make a ton of sense, you know what? I don't believe in Jared Goff one little bit. I don't love Trey Lance either, but I certainly don't love Jared Goff. So give me Trey Lance. It's a new coaching staff. They apparently have a little bit of a leash here to go out and try to improve their team over a couple years. Throw Trey Lance back there. He gets to learn behind Goff of like what not to do on a football field for a year before taking over the following season.
I can just tell you that I will not pick Mac Jones in the first round.
The poor Carolina Panthers.
I'm not doing it. So I'm just, there's no chance. The Carolina Panthers, when Maddie was talking about who's trading up, I bet you the Carolina Panthers are the team that moves all the way up to somewhere like number three if they get caught with their pants down in free agency during the great quarterback carousel of 2021. So there is no quarterback that is even remotely worth the pick, Mac. So I am going to go with the high ceiling athlete at the cornerback spot, Caleb Farley. One of the MOs of Matt.
Not Lord. Greg Newsome, just to clarify.
Sure? 4-3-1 Greg Newsome?
No, I'm okay. Okay. I'm good. I'm going to go with Caleb Farley, the quarterback out of Virginia Tech. Matt Rule likes to bet on athletic profile. He likes to, you know, get these freak athletes and try to coach them up and turn them into great football players. Caleb Farley already has ability as a football player, but he also has an exceptional athletic profile. He's going to trust his coaching staff to build this guy up. Denver Broncos. Number nine, Jake.
To appease all the Chiefs fans that listen to this, I would love to give them Mac Jones right now. I'm not going to do it. So the Broncos, right? So we're probably looking at some type of edge rusher, maybe some help along the offensive line. So as far as edge rushers, what are we looking at right now? I mean, Is this too early for a guy like Kwity Paye? Probably getting to his ceiling, I would say, for us to go top 10. But if that with Von Miller potentially on his way out, is that going to happen, by the way? I've heard rumors. Is Von Miller going to be a Bronco next year? That's what I need to know.
Their fans are very nervous. That's all I know. Not saying that means anything one way or the other, but their fans are very nervous.
Okay, well, let's go ahead, and I'm just going to assume that he's gone, and they want to pair somebody with Chubb, and I think Kwity Paye would be a really good pair with Chubb, so I'm going to go ahead and take him. When you're playing a division with a guy like Patrick Mahomes, never a bad idea to try to get someone in his lap, so I'm going to take Kwity Paye here, the edge rusher out of Michigan.
Kwity Paye sits ninth on our board, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of just perfect there. Pick number 10, Dallas Cowboys. What do you like here, Craig?
Man, I'll tell you what. You just got done paying Dak. You got to protect Dak. I am going Rashawn Slater here. One of the strongest offensive tackles in this group. I think that he is ridiculously good. I don't think the gap between him and Penei Sewell is as big as maybe I did when this whole process started. Watching more tape, he's ridiculously good. I think that Dallas will be ridiculously happy with him, and they can play him inside or outside, whatever they feel they need there.
New York Giants, number 11. Might be a little bit upset that Kwity Paye didn't go off the board there, huh, Maddie?
Nah, they're chilling because they're getting the best defensive player in this class, and Micah Parsons. It's real quick. It's real simple for them. They have nobody in the front seven that compares with his talent level, and Dave Gettleman loves himself some linebackers.
We have, I believe, Micah Parsons is the sixth highest rated player on our board right now. The tape is not the problem for Micah Parsons right now. There's just a lot of questions surrounding him, let's just say. All right, San Francisco 49ers on the board, and Patrick Surtain staring right at him. Cornerbacks in need. They're moving on from Richard Sherman this year. Patrick Surtain out of Alabama. Yes, the name. Yes, exactly who you're thinking. Former Chief Pat Surtain's son. Wow, we are all extremely old. But Patrick,
speak for yourself.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Matty's extremely youthful still. I forgot. But Patrick Surtain, he may not be the same kind of athlete that Caleb Farley is, but it's not like he's a slouch there in that regard. Technically, a lot farther advanced than a guy like Caleb Farley, and still an adequate athletic profile and deserving of a pick this high. San Francisco is probably pretty happy to have a guy like Patrick Surtain. We have him currently slated 15th right now on our big board, and he is going 12th to the San Francisco 49ers. Jake, you're back up with the Los Angeles Chargers. What are they doing to try to compete with Patrick LeVon Mahomes?
Well, so I think for the Chargers, what I would like to do is score 100. And so I'm going to keep that motto going for the Chargers. You have the young Justin Herbert, and I think it'd be really fun to watch him play with a guy like DeVonta Smith. And that might be a little bit off the wall for the Chargers here, but I just think DeVonta, this is a good spot for him to go. And if you are going to try to keep pace with Kansas City in that division, you better be able to score points. So give me DeVonta Smith, wide receiver, Alabama.
Ooh, I like that one a little bit. Minnesota Vikings on the board. Craig Stout.
Man, the Vikings need offensive line help because they keep investing in it and it goes poorly every time they do. So why not take a good athlete who with questionable potential in Christian Darrisaw, a guy out of Virginia Tech that could have one of the highest ceilings in this class, but going to need some coaching, going to need to stay motivated the entire time that he's in the NFL. I think this is a good spot for him.
It's very appropriate that the man that never wants to trade back ever, Matthew Lane, is picking for the team that trades back all the time, the New England Patriots, sitting here at 15. A lot of ways that they could go here. What you thinking here, Matthew?
Boy, they have some good options. I mean, they got Jalen Waddle, who can add some speed to a wide receiver room that is just simply not good. The rumors are that Stephon Gilmore's on the trading block. You could come out and get potentially cornerback one and J.C. Horn. Or it's sitting right there looking at them in the face. They can't go into next season with whatever kind of quarterback room they had last year. Patriots take Mac Jones in the first round. I never would. But if you were going to replicate what Tom Brady did for you, if that's your goal going forward, Mac Jones is a decent bargain bin version of Tom Brady from a skill set perspective. Not that he'll be Tom Brady, just he plays football in a similar way.
Man, I really want to see Mac Jones throw to those Patriots weapons. Like, we spend all this time talking about, is Mac Jones a product of his weapons or not? Guess what you'd find out in a big hurry in New England.
We're about to get Senior Bowl, Mac.
Yeah.
What's so funny to me about Mac Jones, too, and the Tom Brady talk is people have been making that comparison. Like, yeah, Mac Jones is a lot like, you know, physically like Tom Brady coming out of Michigan. So bad?
So for me, it's not even coming out of Michigan. It's just like he's very similar to Tom Brady from a traits perspective, which is to simply say he's not that good. Tom Brady does not have great football traits.
No.
It's skills that he's phenomenal on.
Yes.
Like he's
like,
really
that's not,
good.
Right. That's not to hate on Tom Brady. Like he's fantastic. But like
he's the best quarterback to ever play the game.
Yeah. You don't look at Tom Brady and say he's good because of physical trait XYZ. Like he's got something else, you know? And so like when you say, I like this guy because he's got the physical traits of Tom Brady. Oof. Okay. Cool. Good luck.
Right. Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm banking on him being talented, or I'm banking on him developing skill.
And and hating everybody so much that he only ever wants to be the best at everything, including eating avocado ice cream.
Well, and here's another thing. Are we sure that Mac Jones, being a negative athlete, is going to be able to mentally hold up long enough in the NFL to develop that mental processing ability that's going to be required for this unathletic quarterback who can't solve a single problem when any variable in the pocket is presented to him?
Am I sure? No. That's why I wouldn't do it. But is the NFL, especially a coaching staff that has had success with a person of similar skills or talent traits in the past, will they? Maybe. I think the rumors out there right now, like if you read what people are saying that are well connected, is that the NFL likes Mac Jones a lot more than we do. So I don't know if you can find a much better fit than a team that worked with Tom Brady from the get-go.
Do you know what's really good for the Kansas City Chiefs? If Mac Jones is drafted in the first round before they pick.
That's good for everybody. It's good for everybody except the team taking him.
All right, Arizona Cardinals at pick 16. Maddie kind of talked about there's a chance that J.C. Horn winds up as cornerback one for us in the KC draft guide. We haven't plugged the KC draft guide yet, by the way. What's go that? To gum.co/KC Draft Guide 21. Promo code LAB, L-A-B, gets you the KC Draft Guide for $8. It's over 300 pages of Chiefs-specific draft content. And we're doing a lot of work on it, and that's kind of what we're basing some of our stuff off here. So if you like what we're doing, go ahead and go buy that guide, and we'll have it for you. It releases on April 5th, by the way. So there you go. I'm going J.C. Horn here, cornerback out of South Carolina, a little bit grabby. But a very strong athletic profile, I think. Not Greg Newsome great, but I like the player a little bit. He actually might have made a little bit of sense for the San Francisco 49ers, frankly. You could have made a good argument for him there too. But we're going J.C. Horn here, cornerback out of South Carolina, and that defense is getting a little saltier. Over there for the Arizona Cardinals, building around that. Hopefully they can protect Kyler Murray in the second round. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the second half of the first round mock draft right after this. All right, we are halfway through our mock draft. It is Jake's turn again to pick number 17, the Las Vegas Raiders. Whose Super Bowl and season ended in October. So, who they got here?
I mean, you had to be there, man. man, so the Raiders, they need a pass rusher, right? And I think Jalen Phillips is probably the best guy available here. And what's interesting to me about Jalen Phillips is I could very, very well see him being the best pass rusher out of this draft class in a few years. And it's also funny because they took Cleveland Farrell in the top five, and Jalen Phillips is like the opposite, polar opposite of him, right? Because Farrell was like this clean prospect that maybe wasn't like super wowing, but you just thought would be really solid, really good player. And then Jalen Phillips has, you know, the question marks. Does he love playing football? He stopped playing. He's playing again. He transferred. He's got the concussions. He's got more of the risk factor, but I think his upside is as high as any edge rusher in this draft class. I really like what he brings to the table, and they can't rush the passer. So Jalen Phillips is the pick here.
All right, number 18, the Miami Dolphins sitting here at 18 on the board. Craig, where are we going here?
Man, this is tough. I do think that they probably need to go offensive tackle. I also think that they could consider Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah because they are a defense that can play a little more multiple. You know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do Jock.
Yeah, right, do it, there. Craig.
Make them a little more multiple. I know the NFL likes him a little better than we do, but I think that that's actually a decent fit for a team that might know how to use him.
Boom. That's my favorite pick of the first round so far. I love that fit.
Do they need another safety?
That's your Kyle Van Noy, man. They just got rid of him, didn't they?
Kyle Van Noy's more like the rush player, though. Like, there's a versatility similarity in that sense that they both are versatile players, but like, I mean,
but he's more of that's a back seven guy. That's exactly what I mean, though. Is like, I think Flores loves players like that. So maybe Kyle Van Noy isn't the great example, but a linebacker that's going to be able to play multiple levels for you. I love that pick. I know Matt just hates him, so he's not going to like whoever gets picked by him, but I like that pick a lot.
All right, Matt.
I mean, No. I've been slandered. I have to come back and say, what are we doing? Is Jock playing in the second slot across from the Auburn cornerback that they just drafted in the first round last year? Like, where's he playing on the field where he's going to do anything that you saw him do before? They just drafted a slot cornerback in round one of last year, so you're doing that back-to-back seasons? I mean, it makes no sense to me, but I agree. Flores likes hybrid players. Maybe he has a plan to turn him into a box safety where he should play the whole time and still be a finesse box safety.
Hey, they could do with one of those. They could operate with one of those.
Right. If there's a team that'll figure out, it's Brian Flores. It's a weird for me to get two slot corners in back-to-back years in the first round.
Boy, things are getting a little testy around here.
Slot corner?
It must be mid-March.
That's what he played at Notre Dame.
We must be halfway through the draft guide right now. Okay, so pick number 19, Matthew is on the board with the Washington football team. Are we just going to keep reaching for quarterbacks and grab Kyle Trask here? Or
we
Kellen
could,
Bond?
But we're sitting here with Jalen Waddle still on the board. Seriously. For a team that desperately needs wide receiver help. So I'm just going to end my explanation now.
No, I think that's fair. I was kind of wondering where Jalen Waddle. Currently, we have him sitting 21st on the board, so this is around where that value is for us.
I got to jump back in. I would take Devontae Smith. I just think Devontae Smith is a little bit closer to Scary Terry currently, and Jalen Waddle gives them a little bit more to work with in terms of just a different skill set or an area on the field that he works in a little bit more often.
Well, Devontae's off the board anyway. He has been for six picks.
Well, shows how much I pay attention.
That checks out. The Chicago Bears. Still stuck at quarterback. Maybe they traded for Sam Darnold. I don't know what they're going to do in this situation, but I think this is a good, strong offensive tackle class, and I think this is a spot. I would say this is a spot for Jalen Mayfield, but I think Jalen Mayfield is going to take a little bit longer to develop. You may not get him immediately day one, although I still have some hope for him if you put him in the right situation. We currently have Jalen Mayfield and Tevin Jenkins stacked very similarly. And I'm going to go Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle, out of Oklahoma State here for the Chicago Bears. He's a guy that we've said enough about. You all already know how we feel about the man. We talk about him every single week. 21. This could start being a run on tackle here, which could be bad for the Chiefs. Indianapolis Colts on the board. Jake, what you thinking here?
Who did you take just now?
I took Tevin Jenkins.
Oh, okay. Colts. I could see that I really would like to go corner for the Colts. And is this the place where 415 Greg Newsome could come off the board?
He makes a lot of sense for them.
He does.
It does.
He's the type of corner.
No, that's where I'm going to go. I just wanted to point out that first of all, I love Greg Newsome. Love Greg Newsome. He is not a 4.3 football player. We were talking about this. He may run a 4.3.1 on a fast track training for the 40, but he plays mid 4.4s, which is fast, right? He's fast enough player. Like, you don't say like, oh man, he's gonna be burnt toast because he can't run. Dude can run, but man, that when I saw that time today, I wish everyone could have been in the DMs listening to that combo, because that shook us a little bit. We were a little shook. All right. But yeah, Greg Newsome, the corner out of Northwestern, is going to be Chris Ballard's first round draft pick for the Colts.
Who's his dad again?
I don't know.
Tennessee Titans pick number 22. Craig, what you like here?
Man, listen. Elijah Vera Tucker has fallen a long ways here. A long ways. I think that even though it's not as big of a need and he would be playing interior offensive line here, I think that they'd take him. And I think that they would make their strength a strength. I think the only other option would be a Rashad Bateman type player, but I'm going AVT just because that's the best player available here.
All right, New York Jets pick number 23, their second first-round pick in the 2021 NFL Draft. Matthew, what you like?
Well, the Jets are sitting here punching air because they were about ready to replace ex-Vera Tucker teammate Chuma Adoga with Elijah Vera Tucker, and he goes off the board one pick before them. So instead, the Jets turn to protecting the second-best quarterback in this draft, Justin Fields, and they select... Oh, Samuel Cosmi's our top-rated tackle left. I actually don't like that. So we are flipping over to the defensive side of the board. We're going defensive line. They haven't had a good pass rush in a long time. You have Robert Saleh is there, correct? That is, I am thinking of the correct team.
Yes.
He likes his pass rushers. They do need to get a little bit of pressure. Gregory Rousseau isn't the best pass rusher, but I think there's a lot of upside there. And worst comes to worst, he can play a little bit of the five tech style, strong side defensive end that Pete Carroll cover three kind of defense used to use back in the day. He's accustomed to that. We'll give them Gregory Rousseau here.
All right. Pittsburgh Steelers are on the clock, and I am going to go ahead and give them an offensive lineman. I'm going to give them Jalen Mayfield, the offensive tackle out of Michigan. He's stacked very similarly to Christian Darrisaw, Tevin Jenkins. He's actually stacked on top of both of those guys in a little run of three that we have currently sitting in the ranking. So I'm going Jalen Mayfield, the offensive tackle out of Michigan. Tons of upside to his game, but has definitely gotten better year over year in his time for the Wolverines. One of the only players that was able to make improvements in that dumpster fire of a program. Pick number 25, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jake, what you like?
I think they would like, well, they just tagged Cam Robinson, right? So they probably, I guess they don't need to go offensive tackle. Let's go ahead and give them the only interior defensive lineman that has a shot at going in the first round. And that's Christian Barrymore from Alabama. I don't know why. That just seems like a Jaguars pick to make. Not very good.
All right. Dynamite analysis there, Jake. Pick 26 for the Cleveland Browns. And Craig, you're on the clock.
Man, lots of edges still on the board here. I don't know if Azeez Ojulari is big enough to play in Cleveland. You know what? After the awesome pro day that he just had, we're going Jason Owa here. Big, powerful, fast dude off the edge. Take a swing on a big athlete there.
I think what's interesting is the statistical analytics on his college production probably hate him, but the athletic analytics on him probably love him.
Mm-hmm. No, probably to the athletic analytics. He's a super freak. So,
He broke athletic analytics, probably. Yeah. I mean, that man is wild.
Why doesn't he have a sack in his college career?
He does. He just didn't have a sack in 2020. He didn't have a sack.
He didn't have a sack in 2020. Penn State was bad. I don't know what to say. Matthew, Baltimore Ravens, 27. Do they go quarterback?
They don't have one on the roster. I mean, is Robert Griffin still under contract? Because if so, they might have one. But there's a lot of talk about Orlando Brown wanting to be traded because he wants to play left tackle, so on and so forth. I think that team is strong enough that they can corral him. They are not going to ship him away for nothing, so I'm not going to go with an offensive tackle here. So your options become, what kind of wide receiver wants to catch passes from another wide receiver? Like, what kind of wide receiver will catch passes well from Lamar Jackson? Because we've heard they need tight ends to run up the middle of the field. They need speed receivers to get separation. They need a big-bodied guy to go up and high-point these people. Like, they have tried everything.
It's everybody else's fault.
Yeah, they've tried everything, and nobody has clicked in terms of what they need. I do think they could use a true X wide receiver on the outside. They could use somebody that Lamar Jackson can make his go-to wide receiver in all situations. So we are going to go Rashad Bateman, wide receiver out of Minnesota. He gives them the same size as Miles Boykin, almost. Not quite the athlete, but he's a guy that I think is a lot better route runner. He can work in the intermediate and shallow routes, give Lamar Jackson an easy out, so he's not only looking for 5'6" Hollywood Brown downfield.
Whew. All right, the New Orleans Saints are sitting here on the board, and I don't love it for them. I don't know if I'm guessing I'm going to probably go a linebacker, just so that Maddie won't troll me. When the Chiefs get around to picking at 31, I'm going to just play it safe here. I'm going to grab Nick Bolton, the linebacker out of Missouri, because I hate him so much. And I'm a hater because I don't want the Chiefs to go and investing another pick in a linebacker.
Stop that. Don't you put that evil on this podcast. I don't want those mentions.
Look, if you're looking for a bat game, if you want bat games, Nick Bolton lays the wood. And he's a downhill player.
He's a good player. He's a really good linebacker.
He's a very good player. Downhill player with some physicality to him. I don't think he's the best coverage player, but I do think he's relatively smart. I think he has quality range. Doesn't necessarily have instincts in coverage, but he's a good football player. He's going to help the middle of that defense, and he will continue to add the edge that defense is trying to operate with. All right, Green Bay Packers, number 29, Jake. Weird how this worked out. We were able to get you pick number 29 on the board. What you like?
I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path because that's what the Packers do every single year. It's always a surprise. I have no idea. So I'm just thinking, what would be a wild pick right here that if after you chew on it for a little bit makes a little bit of sense? So I'm going to go Trayvon Milrig from TCU, the safety. because I'm looking at him as someone that would allow Darnell Savage to play more in the slot, which is his more natural position. So I think, you know, at first glance, you're going to say, wait a second, they have Amos and Savage, one of the better safety duos in the league. But I think what he adds to the back end is going to upgrade two positions in one. So I'm going with the TCU safety.
All right, Buffalo Bills sitting at number 30. They just are on the heels of losing to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, which was the last game the Kansas City Chiefs actually played last season, believe it or not. Fun fact. Craig, who do you like at pick 30?
I actually like Zaven Collins here. I think he can play a little bit of off-ball. I think he can give him a little bit of pass rush. I think that he is versatile enough to play in that defense and be a very high-functioning player. That gives him a ridiculously athletic linebacking core, and they may have turned around and seen what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' ridiculously athletic linebacking core did and try to replicate it this offseason.
All right, your Kansas City Chiefs. Pick 31. Matthew Lane, you have the floor.
Well, I despise you for putting all the pressure of the Chiefs pick on me and then giving me this god-awful board to select from. Like, this is terrible.
This is how it works when we all do it together.
If I had a, you know, professional medical team with me that could tell me that Landon Dickerson has no structural damage, he would be the pick. But sadly, I'm looking around my little room here and I don't see one of those, so I can't take Landon Dickerson. There is no chance in the world I'm taking Kadarius Toney at this pick. So I'm going to need you to scroll down a little bit on our draft board there, Ken. I need to see somebody that's left out here and somebody
Richie
jumps out at me.
Richie Grant.
Yeah, I mean, nothing here jumps out to me. I really don't like the way this board has shaped up for the Chiefs. Samuel Cosmi is probably the most talented tackle left. Liam Eichenberg is also there. He's a guy that can start day one. Cosmi, I think, needs a little bit more time. Let's take Samuel Cosmi. I don't think that he's a guy ready to step in on day one, which he might have to with the Chiefs. Maybe he can be functional. He just needs some work with his footwork, oddly enough. He's a guy that's very athletic. He's got good power when his hands connect, but just too often his feet cross over each other. He's leaning into contact, and he just gets a very bad push on whoever's coming against him. He leaves his inside shoulder open consistently because he has this really weird backpedal pass set that he doesn't get a lot of depth on. He doesn't meet guys out at a good angle, but when he's just moving freely in space, whether it's forward or if he knows he has to get deep, he can do it really well. I think there's a lot of upside there. He's just a guy that probably needs a little bit of technical help as he gets ready to start.
I'm hopeful at pick 32. I'm hopeful that Tom Brady's window's closing. And I think this team is definitely going to continue to try to play for this window. They're playing to win now. And I think they're just going to drop Najee Harris into that offense, set it, forget it at the running back spots. They go Najee Harris at pick 32. And you know what? Historically, you know, last year, the team that picked a running back with the last pick in the first round didn't win the Super Bowl. So here's to that continuing. All right, that is going to do it for the AP Draft Show. That was our mock draft edition for March. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back with the AP Laboratory on Friday. Catch you later.